Morning, everyone. Today's reading comes from Romans chapter 8, verses 18 to 25. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently.
Can we have our first picture up, if that's okay, please? Oh, fantastic. Okay, I'll just try and navigate my way around this. Morning, everyone. Good to see you. Good to be here. Andrew, you know, I didn't get texts myself, but I got presents. Okay? I got presents. And gee, do I love my presents. For those of us who love snoring, because it's part of our make, my kids decided to get me those mouth guards. That just stops you from snoring. So whether they're sending me a signal, I'm not too sure. But I'm excited to give them a bit of peace. Yesterday was actually Uriah's sixth birthday. And it's been a bit of a time. I've just had a little bit of time to reflect. And as you know, birthdays are always busy, and I didn't get the luxury that I had with my older kids, because it was a bit different. We're a blended family. For those of you who don't know what a blended family is, we had kids and came together, and then we have Uriah, who's kind of in the middle. We also have a few adopted kids who we journey with at the moment. And so for Renee and I, there's something special about Uriah for us, in the sense that he's the first that I've had the privilege to really journey with right through the 6 years. And it's just been fascinating to watch and to journey with. And being that it's Father's Day, it makes me think, just reimagine what it's like to be present. And working with our young people of our community and those who feel outcast, and those who don't have family. It's just given me a deeper understanding and a treasure. Like, it's a bit of a taonga, our kids are blessings. And it's just given me a bit more drive. Now, this week's been interesting because I actually didn't go much to work this week. My wife forced me to stay home. It's been a tough week for me. And thank you to the worship team, because when you love singing and you can't sing, you have to lean into something else. And it kind of ties in. I just sat there worshiping in silence because I've just been saving it for this. And just thinking about that idea as we begin to read the text, and Paul talks about that wrestling with the flesh and the spirit. And over my time, I begin to realize that actually my flesh can only go so far. And I've had to really lean into the spirit to speak and to share with you today. But anyway, Uriah got toys. We only invited half of our family, which is still like 50 people. We left the Sione half. We didn't tell them, because I have a nephew who has, a niece, sorry, who has also a baby that's born on the same day. So we kind of just kept it low-key, and 30 people are there, you know, just 30 people casually. And so we got to catch up, but he loves presents. And one of the things that he loves, as you can see, was Lego. So when I told Renee to take this picture, she was a bit weirded out. She was like, what's going on here? And about 2 weeks ago, I was like, just felt the Holy Spirit nudge, take a picture of the Lego. Uriah loves to build. It's beautiful to watch, for those of us who know what Lego is and work with our young people. And every piece, everything in design, in its place, and seeing the creation, get to explore with it, with meaning and with purpose. As the days and the weeks kind of go on, this is what it ends up looking like. Uriah gets bored, so he begins to recreate. And in one part, you're like, man, this is awesome. But then fit for purpose, you're kind of like, I have no idea where you're going with this, son. And for those of us who love cleaning, like my wife and I, pieces are everywhere. They're scattered and you're standing on some, and I won't repeat the words that we might say. But it's here where we begin to explore that whole idea of what Paul might be saying in this text. You know, I think this is where Paul is picking up in Romans 8. The reality of suffering. This is exactly what Paul is speaking. In chapter 7, he describes the frustration of the flesh, how sin is that separation, and Andrew talked about that before, and how it weakens and makes us feel futile. And in Romans 8, right here is the reality of suffering, futile, the longing for restoration. Like this picture. You know, we thought we knew better. Your eye thinks he knows better. Right? And now we're missing pieces. And how do we get to put this back together? And Romans 8:18 says, I consider that our present suffering are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in you and I. The whole creation has been growing as in the pains of childbirth right to the present. Which is my point one. Our groaning. And the word that Paul decides to use here is a fancy Greek word, stenazo. Okay? And it comes directly out of the Old Testament. Paul is using this word which has shaped the journey of Israel coming out of Egypt. Slavery. The groaning when the people are crying out to God, echoing that groaning and longing to be saved, longing to be found again, longing to be set free. And Paul actually then takes this word, he reshapes it into another fancy Greek word, which means groaning together with. This is the only place in the New Testament where Paul uses this word. Paul's an old word, rephrases it to draw that God has always been this God that's been there from the beginning. Like Genesis, like the Lego in the beginning, even right to now when it feels incomplete. That word groaning is powerful. And it's actually talking, it's not groaning in isolation. Everything is groaning. There's a groaning within us. There's a groaning within creation itself. That word is powerful and is deep. It's not just frustration or a slight or sigh. It's deeper. It's the ache. The sound of something not being how it's supposed to be. Now, what does that look like for us? And I think we get this. I don't know about you, but I've felt times when I've been inadequate. And no matter how hard I try, like this week, I've tried to go to work. You feel like you're just not enough. There's that deep groaning. You ever felt like pieces in your life have been scattered and you're trying to order it and it's just not the way it's meant to be? You ever felt like something's missing? You ever looked around the world and going, what is going on? Injustice. Surely this is not what God's longing heart or loving heart was. And here's the Christian hope. That groaning isn't the groaning of death. Paul talks about it's the pain of childbirth. I love the way Bible Project puts it. It's like that labor pain. Painful, but it means something's coming. That's Christian hope. Painful, but something is on its way. And Paul here points to us and says that this is actually the doorway to glory. 23, not only so, but we ourselves who are the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. Here Paul shifts that image from incomplete, that creation is groaning, but goes deeper, and he talks about adoption. Isn't this the deepest longing of our hearts? To belong? To be claimed. Deep down, we long to be adopted in. And I think about this in my own life when my dad passed away at 13. and it left just this gap, this, I don't even know what's going on in my body, my mind, things are just weird. But guess what, even as a grown man right now, as I think I'm a grown man, there are still moments, even as a parent, will I wish and hope that I would be parented myself. That actually someone else is looking at, and there'd be moments where I'd kind of just, I'd actually pray and reach out and be like, man, Dad, I wish you were here. Hey, do you know what that feels like? And some of the research that's come out by Dr. Anna Mashin, the psychologist who studies family bonds and anthropology, really these two points that kids, us, children, experience mum's love through nurture. Whether we like that or not, that's just the way humanity seems to kind of find its nurture has been cared for, provided for. But kids know dad's love through time and presence. Those are undeniable things. So when dads are absent, which I see a lot, kids measure that absence deeply, whether you know it or not. And they can't even put it into words. They can't express it. They don't have the words to put that into frame. But they feel it. Friends, whether your earthly parents have succeeded or failed or even been present, their longing still exists. And Paul is saying here that God meets that longing and ache. Perfectly, as a father, he protects and strengthens and names us and calls us his own. But not just that, as a mother, he comforts and nurtures and shows compassion. In fact, the Hebrew word for God's compassion comes from the word of a mother's womb. Beautifully put together. Beautifully balanced. So on this Father's Day, as we remember this, your heavenly Father, I want to tell you that he has not left you and his heart is for you, and he adopts us and he claims you and I, and he says, you are mine. So how does God deal with the broken Lego set? With creation scattered, lost, and now subject to death, what does he do? He doesn't stand far away or shaking his head. He doesn't throw the pieces away. That's kind of something I would do. I would throw the Lego pieces away and pretend like no one saw that. He actually enters into it. God himself in the person of Jesus becomes one faithful human who didn't choose what was good in his eyes. Instead, he enters into that piece of Lego. He enters into it and becomes it. And he carries it to the cross. One of the forefathers, Gregory, says, what has not been assumed cannot be healed. This idea that Jesus, God knows that we long. Creation is waiting, longing. You and I are waiting, longing. He knows that and he enters it himself. He assumes that, comes in the form of a human. While still God, he takes it all on himself, the hurt, the pain. He carries it to the cross. And he transforms it into something glorious. What Jesus did was not just redemption. And this word I came to learn in finance was, it was repossession. Enters it to repossess what was already his. Lost in the fall. His people, his creation, piece by piece, until it belongs to him again. Jesus taking the scattered pieces into himself through death and resurrection so it can be put back together. Jesus doesn't just restore our broken pieces. He brings something new. Isn't that amazing? So whenever you felt like an incomplete set of maybe Lego, or scattered or lost pieces, know that in Jesus' hands, because he is the faithful Son, redeems, repossesses, restores and reconnects you and I back to the Father. For in this hope, we were saved, but hope that is seen as no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. Something I've experienced this week. We do not know what we ought to pray, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. This idea, Paul reframing that, yes, we groan. Yes, creation groans. But guess what? You don't groan alone. And guess what? The Spirit groans too. But more than that, that when we do groan, when we do feel weak, when we cannot do it, when we feel too broken, we have no words, God himself steps in and carries your prayer, my prayer. The Spirit is interceding. He speaks into the deep longings. God hears us. This is powerful. This is absolutely powerful because it means endurance isn't about gritting our teeth. Endurance about how good we are as Christians or pretending that it doesn't hurt. Endurance is about leaning into the Spirit who is already at work through Jesus in us, in you and in me. Reminding us that God promises and is carrying you and I. And here's the hope that Paul leaves us with is glory follows suffering. Always, suffering is real. Pain is real. But it's not the end of the story because the Spirit is already at work in you and I. So we don't wait with despair, even though we feel it. But we wait with hope. Not because life is easy, because it's definitely not, but because Jesus has already gone ahead of you and I. And the Spirit is with us right here, right now. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his sons. And Paul ties it off here. God is working all things, even in our groaning, in yours and in mine, even in our suffering, towards his beautiful purpose. And what is that purpose? That you and I and all of creation will be conformed back to the image of the Son. And we land with Jesus is the face of God, the visible image of the invisible Father. Jesus is the true temple, the place where God's Spirit dwells in its fullness for you and I. Jesus is the faithful Son who enters our groaning, carries it through death, and rose to reconnect you and I back to our Father. And here's the promise. God is not discarding the scattered Lego set of creation. He is repossessing it piece by piece, heart by heart, life by life, until all things are renewed and shine with his glory. It means that your groaning is not wasted. It's not meaningless if that's what you're experiencing right now. It's actually the womb of a new creation that Jesus is going to birth through you and through I. So whether you feel like a whole piece this morning or you feel like pieces over the week, hear this, your Father has not left you. The Spirit intercedes for you and I. Jesus is the guarantor, the one who secures the promise, and we don't have to do that work because he's done it. And he will restore you and I again. So I close with these three questions for you, family. That number one, where do you feel the groaning in your life or in your home or in a relationship or a friendship? Where do you feel the groaning of God right now? Number two, What gives you hope that God is not finished? What gives you hope? That he's still in the world renewing your life right now, no matter how young, how old, or whether we think our bodies are not working, not looking at Andrew, and things like that. Well, you know, where do you think? And number three, how can we, filled with the Spirit, love others with endurance while we wait for the glory that Paul promises for you and I that's already guaranteed for, through Jesus? Let's pray. Father, thank you that you call us your own. And when words aren't enough, and we feel lost, we feel broken, and we feel incomplete, that you already know. And you're already standing in the gap. You're already seeking us out, even if we don't feel it at times. And you're still there. You're doing something that we can't seem to understand. We worship you this morning. I pray for my family, the church family, that we would once again find what it is that you're calling us to. That would open our hearts and our minds once again to where you're at work, where you want to reside in us. Speak to us this morning, we pray, in your mighty name, Jesus. Amen.